Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Get back to the Chiefs, though, for a little bit here before we get into all of that. Nick Ferguson, former Broncos safety. We've had Nick on the show the last couple of years leading into these Broncos games. He obviously does sports talk radio out in Denver as well. He's a Heisman voter, and he's kind enough to give us some time here on 96.5 The Fan. Nick, it's good to have you back on the show, man. What's kind of the vibe in Denver right now with this team that, I don't know, has more wins at this point than people, at least outside of Denver, I think, thought?
Well, I think at this point, the media and the fans are pretty much separated a little. What I mean by that is the fans look at that Baltimore Ravens game and say, well, we thought the team was heading in the right direction with how the defense was playing. And after that game, they're kind of down. But the media's perspective is that this is a game that the Broncos definitely have a chance of winning. And the reason why I guess the feelings are high is because looking at how the Chiefs have been winning games, it's not like in years past where you're talking about there is a bunch of explosive plays and the Chiefs are just blowing teams out. The games are close. You look at the Chargers game. More important, you look at the Raiders game and how the Chiefs were able to pull that off based off their defense. And the Broncos said, well, we have a good defense too as well. We just ran into Baltimore, which was Baltimore and Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. So there is a belief, a strong belief, that the Broncos can go into Arrowhead and pull about a win.
What did Baltimore do to take advantage of Denver? Like, what was the thing that, you know, unraveled it, I guess, so poorly?
Well, they ran the ball well. And when you have a threat with Lamar, who's become a great passer, and you have Derrick Henry, that presents a lot of issues for you because from a defensive standpoint, you're thinking, okay, well, we can't run certain defensive coverages because we got two guys. If we turn our back to them, they're capable of getting explosive plays. Then you start to play some zone coverage. And the difficulty about playing zone, which most people think is very easy, is that you're counting on 11 guys trying to be on the same page. And when you have guys who can get to the edge and the perimeter like both Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson did, it put a lot of stress on the Broncos from how well they play their scheme to how well they communicate as well.
When you look at what they're like, so they're a good sack team, right? But most people, and again, outside of this, would say Denver's defense has outperformed what people were expecting of them from this year. Can it sustain? Like, was that not a crack? Like, what about their defense can last this long in the season? Because I would say they've overperformed based on the talent they have on the roster.
Well, I mean, some would look at it in that particular way. I tend to look at it differently. And the reason being because a lot of these guys are in their second year in the scheme. Now you have some new guys mixed in here and there, Cody Barton being one of those guys. But for the most part, you're bringing back some of the guys who've been in Vance Joseph's system for a while. And they know, okay, well, we have a defense that's not filled with a lot of household names. And that works well for the Denver Broncos because they play together collectively. That Baltimore game, they did not play collectively together. You have guys were not trusting one another as far as where they needed to be from a responsibility standpoint, but they know what they are definitely capable of. And for me, it's just that Baltimore game, the way I look at it, is a blip on the radar. You play it against a team that is considered to be one of those teams supposed to be at the bitter end of the season fighting for the right to go to New Orleans and play for a title. So the Broncos are not totally there as a team, but that's what it boils down to, gentlemen. It's not just the defense, because the defense was heavily blamed for the debacle in Baltimore last Sunday, but the offense didn't really pull their fair share. And we've seen Bo Nix make strides in the right direction. And I think that's why more of the media people and some of the fans are confident that this is a game that the Broncos definitely stand a chance.
We're talking to Nick Ferguson, former Broncos safeties, with us here on 96.5 The Fan. You mentioned Bo Nix there. What are they getting out of this offense, and specifically him, that they weren't with Russell Wilson? I know the relationship, obviously, between Russ and Sean Payton wasn't great, so maybe that's just the for starters. They actually have a good relationship. But what are they getting offensively out of Bo Nix that makes them better?
Well, you know what? I'm not going to say it makes them better, but Sean has been willing to change up a couple of things with the play calling. You go back and you watch the Thursday night game against the Saints. We saw the Broncos doing things that Sean Payton's offense traditionally doesn't do. There's not a lot of pre and post snap motion in Sean Payton's offense. There were a couple of design quarterback runs. Typically, you don't see that. And we didn't really see that a lot with Russell. So obviously, Bo is a younger player, but he still has a similar skill set because he can run around, he can move around. And traditionally, with Sean Payton's offense, he wants his quarterback to stand in that pocket, go through those progressions, deliver the ball, even though you know that you have a defender bearing down on you. But for me, I like somewhat of the subtle change. I don't know who recommended it, but I love what I've seen because Bo has pulled the ball down, and he's run a couple of times when the pocket is broken down. But we've also seen, once again, some design quarterback runs. Now, I know I get the idea that you don't always want to put your quarterback in that situation, but you have a guy in Bo Nix who's entirely different than Drew Brees was. He still has a little bit of that Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen ability to escape the pocket and draw the defense in and create opportunities in the passing game. If the Broncos lean on that more moving forward in the game on Sunday, the Broncos definitely stand a chance of winning.
Some of the advanced analytics say that the Broncos have the best offensive line as far as protecting their quarterback in the league. How is Bo Nix against the blitz? Because if it's not coming one way, you know Spags will try another. How does Bo do when they start throwing, you know, the blitz package at him?
Well, this is a great thing about, you know, watching Bo grow up to this point of the season, being able to see where the blitz is coming. And yes, the Broncos offensive line, they have done a good job opposed to what they did last year with Russell Wilson. But we all know this, the pocket is going to break down at some point. And you need a guy who has the confidence in his skill set where he can move the chains and help out the offense. And I know Spags is great at bringing the blitz. And here's the thing I hope the Broncos don't do, but they've done this season to put the offensive line, but more importantly, Bo Nix in somewhat of a conundrum, when they start to run those reduced formations. And they run those reduced formations, and my problem with it is that you bring defenders into the box. So now, if you want to bring your nickel linebacker, your nickel cornerback, you can bring that guy to present some issues. Now, it's the same issues that you present can be a problem for you because if that nickel comes in, he gets trapped inside, and you allow Bo Nix to get outside. He has the foot quickness to pick up that first down, but that's where the chess match is going to be on Sunday.
So how do you see this playing out? We both think here, at least, this is kind of a lower-scoring, tight game. The Chiefs typically just don't blow out opponents, but they find ways to make the key plays when they have to.
See, yeah, that's the thing where, you know, people have been saying, you know, here and kind of from on a national standpoint, well, Patrick Mahomes is not the same. His game has gone down. I say, well, here's what I look at. You can look at the first three quarters and say, well, Patrick Mahomes is not being Patrick Mahomes. And obviously he had an issue with interception until the last game. But the Chiefs find ways to win. That's the great thing about them. They know how to win. And they seem to just turn it on in the fourth quarter. And that's where the Broncos are going to have to be great on both sides of the ball. And there's no such thing as playing a perfect game. But to play a Chiefs team that winning defensively, not offensively, you have to play a damn near perfect game. And what we've seen from the Broncos, they have either drive extenders holding receivers or drive killers when their offensive linemen are holding opposing defenders taking points off the ball. So that's where the Broncos are going to have to be perfect. And if I'm not mistaken, there's a college game that's going to be played on Arrowhead Field on Saturday. So my concern is what the field conditions are going to be. And I would say the field conditions favor the Chiefs because they play more of a slow, methodical offense, that's kind of where they are now. So I give the edge to the Chiefs with the game on Sunday.
Nick, the Broncos going to get out of town okay? Aren't you guys getting like a foot of snow right now?
Yeah, it's been snowing since yesterday, and it's supposed to continue into tomorrow. So I don't know what the plan is for the team, but I'm hoping that they're going to finish practice today and try to get out here a little early. But once again, this is Denver, Colorado, where we know how to deal with
move snow. Yeah,
and we'll get out of Denver to make sure that we're there for Kansas City game on Sunday.
You're a Heisman voter. I know you can't say where you're going to vote, but you're also in Colorado country. So Travis Hunter, I mean, right now, Heisman race, is this, how close is this race?
The race is really close, and this is the great thing about being a Heisman vote. You get a chance to watch these young men go out there and compete week in and week out. And here's the crazy thing about the Heisman, the way that I look at it, which may be different from other people, is that, you know, even though the Heisman is given to one single individual, it is basically a team award. How well are you doing on both sides of the ball? Are you winning the games that you should win? And some of those other games, are you blowing teams out to help extend that player on your team to kind of prop them up? So it's great to kind of watch. I would love to tell you what direction I'm leaning in, but that goes against the rules, so I can't tell you.
Our old producer was a Heisman voter. We used to joke with him all the time about that very thing. I know they don't mess around with that voting stuff. Good to have you on the show, Nick. Appreciate it, man.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.